Praise be Jesus and Mary. As you would recall, you know, during Advent, we had encountered St. John the Baptist on many of the days of Advent, you know, with the gospel readings. And this was, you know, not by accident. He was supposed to be something of a companion, you know, for us to help us prepare well for the Christmas season. And now, shortly after, you know, the Christmas season has concluded, today being the second Sunday of Ordinary Time, you know, we're presented anew with the figure of St. John the Baptist, and that in order to help us, you know, celebrate the mysteries of Christ, you know, during the remainder of this liturgical year. You know, he kind of points him out to us anew, you know, the Messiah, the Savior, whom we ought to fix our whole attention on. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now I have seen and testified that he, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. Now these are the words that St. John the Baptist addressed to his disciples, indicating to them the one whom they were to follow, the one whom he himself dedicated his entire life for, you know, as the precursor, forerunner, prophet, in fact, the greatest and the last of the prophets, and the herald of the great King and Lord. Once the Messiah and Savior had finally come and manifested himself with the help of St. John the Baptist, St. John's mission was completed, and therefore all that remained for him to do, you know, was summed up in his own words. He must increase, but I must decrease. Even though St. John the Baptist would perhaps have us fix our attention wholly on the Messiah, behold the Lamb of God, and follow him alone, in fact we do, our Lord would approve of our veneration, our attention, you know, given to this giant of a saint. You know, we heard, you know, Jesus himself praised him in such glowing terms when he said, "Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist." We can still learn a lot from St. John and be inspired by his life. And this is particularly important today in his example. It's very relevant, you know, to our times. You know, our world is, as you know, very much lost in error and confusion, so much steeped in sin and darkness. Among all the things we can learn, the many things we can learn from St. John the Baptist in particular, is a certain simplicity of life, a simplicity that, you know, we desire. You know, we can't live without. That is a simplicity of life lived for God alone and living a life in view of spending all eternity with him in heaven, a life that is dedicated to living out the words we heard in today's responsorial psalm, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will." Our life should be all about that, carrying out perfectly God's holy will. This is why we were made. Admittedly, we live in a very complex world nowadays, especially today. And by that, I mean that we live in a very confused world. So it's not a compliment, you know, very complex, sophisticated, but you know, rather quite the contrary. You know, it's a criticism. You know, the world has lost its bearings. It's lost its sense, if it had it ever, we could say, it lost its sense of purpose, meaning, and direction in life. It is without a firm foundation necessary to build a truly humane life, individually and personally, but also for society at large. In fact, to make matters worse, many people today have fallen for the grave error and lie of relativism. Relativism, as you know, asserts that there is no objective, absolute truth. You know, this in itself is a self-contradiction. To say there is no objective truth, you know, that in itself contradicts itself. pretending itself to be an object of truth or standard. So relativism states that, and there's only subjective truth, or if not that, personal opinion, feelings, sentiments, not only in moral and spiritual matters, but even today, it seems, in physical, biological matters, you know, as the example of the gender ideologies, you know, so, painfully bring to our attention a very sad reality, great confusion, relativism. Ultimately, what's been happening is that many people have been seduced by Satan, the father of lies, still very busy with his minions working in this world, still whispering the same old empty promise he once whispered to Eve long ago. You certainly will not die. No, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, the fruit, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods who know what is good and what is bad. Determine for yourselves what's good and evil. Relativism. The rejection of absolute truth, rejection of God and his sovereignty over our lives, trying to make oneself equal to God. To all of this stands in stark opposition St. John the Baptist, who lived for God alone, who humbly and faithfully served him, and whose basic message is therefore urgent and valid today as ever before. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As Christians living in the world today, we have a great responsibility before us. It's a responsibility quite similar to that of St. John the Baptist, and that responsibility or mission was described by the prophet Isaiah in today's first reading when he says, I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. We're supposed to be that light to the nations. And we can be, by living a life of greater simplicity, as it were, in the sense that we avoid so many useless and harmful distractions and diversions that come from the world, especially through the mass media. Not that we have to avoid it entirely, these things, they can be good and helpful, but in due measure, obviously avoiding anything that's harmful, and then even more so, if we can, anything that's useless, that wastes time, precious time, time that is a gift from God, that's very, very short and brief in duration in comparison with eternity that awaits us. So avoiding useless or harmful distractions, diversions, dedicating ourselves wholeheartedly, to the one thing, or better, to the one person, Christ Jesus, above all other things. Everything else is secondary in comparison with this, the one thing, the one person we ought to look to, our Lord Jesus Christ. And by doing this, we will be doing the world a great service. We will be building up the church as well, of course, and we will be fulfilling our mission, our divine call, described by St. Paul in today's second reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when he addresses all Christians, ourselves included, saying, you who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy, called to be saints and great saints. May Our Lady, Mother of the Church, help of Christians, and Queen of all saints, intercede for us, that we might be faithful unto this mission entrusted to us, that we might persevere in our pursuit of holiness and become great saints to the greatest glory of God and the salvation of so many souls. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. Fructum ventris.
Christus.